Well, just as an introduction, this is an interview with Wilson Donohue on Monday, November the 17th in the year 2003. And Wilson was a student at Schoolhouse Number 9. And I'd just like to talk to you, Wilson, about your experiences at the school. Now, I believe you were born in 1912.
Right.
So that makes you 91.
That's right.
And you're looking pretty good for 91, I must say. Let's go back to your growing up. I believe your father worked at the farm for on Phillips Road.
On Phillips Road.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it was just a...
Was it a dairy farm? Or?
Oh, yeah. In fact, there were three farms into one. There was one on Phillips Road. There was one on what they call Moore Road. It wasn't called Moore Road when I was there. It was Beekman Road.
Mm-hmm.
Came all the way down to the bridge. Then you go up a little further before you hit Beekman timeline, and that was another farm. So the whole three of them belonged to the same man.
Okay.
And the one that, when you go up from the bridge, that land there went all the way up, and it joined onto where the prison is now. It joined right onto the prison property.
Oh, okay.
And all on that side.
Greenhaven Prison.
Yep.
Okay, but the main produce there were dairy cattle?
That's right, it was dairy, but we didn't have dairy where we lived.
Okay.
The dairies was over on, which I said was Beekman Road. It was over on Moore Road. That
which
was,
is now called Banton Moore Road, is it?
That's right, that's where the dairy was.
Okay. Now, Mr. Banton Moore purchased the farm after your father left or while you were still there?
Oh, no, after we had left.
Okay.
After we had left. He had sold it, that's why we left.
Oh, I see.
That's why we left. Because my father would never work for that Moore.
Oh.
He despised him.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us a little bit about the house that you lived in?
The big house?
The big house.
Oh, like I'm telling you, it was a three-story house. And the only heat you had was wood stoves. Didn't have a furnace, you know. And like I say, it was three stories. First, I can remember going to bed way up in the top.
Well, that was pretty cold in winter, wasn't it?
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Did you have electricity in the house at that time?
No.
Okay.
Was no electric there when we left. No.
Now, on the side of that house, there was a smaller sort of cottage. Do you recall? There was a brick house, and then there was a smaller, lower-level piece on the side.
That was put on there after we left then, because it was not there like that.
Okay. Now, I know you had some brothers and sisters at that time.
Yep. I said I had... it was six boys and one girl.
Wow, that's a big family.
Yep, I had, let me see, there was John, Charles, Mike. There was three older than me.
Three older than you?
And the rest was younger.
Okay. But you're the only surviving son?
Yep, I'm the only one.
Okay.
Of all of them. Yep.
How about your sister?
No,
she's passed on.
And the funny part of it was, I never knew she died.
Oh, dear.
In fact, a friend of hers, and I mean people I knew up in the Stetsburg. And, of course, my sister went to college and everything.
Yes.
And, with them. And said, she called me.
Really?
Yeah. And that was after 9 o'clock at night.
Can we just
and they, and they lived up in Rome.
Oh, okay, yes.
And she called me and she said, I just came back from the funeral. I said, what funeral? She said, Beatrice.
Oh, dear.
That was it. Never heard another word from her.
How long ago was that?
Oh, that's 10 years, 11 years.
Yeah. Okay. Now, in that house that you lived in, you said there were slave quarters, you believe, down in the basement?
Down the cellar, yeah. There was one person down in there that had bars in the windows. And actually, there were bars into the doors. So they were, you know. And then I tried to explain to people, in one corner, there was, in there was what you called the dog churn. The dog used to churn the butter.
Oh. I wonder if that's still there.
That dog would go right around a circle just like that, and when it did that, it came to start turning.
Did you used to make butter there?
No.
Oh.
No. But,
And the slave cemetery you mentioned was on Phillips Road?
Yeah, that's, you go on down past that house, right on down towards the bridge, and before you get to the bridge, there's a kind of a little curve and goes down to the bridge like that. Right here on the right, you can see the
it is still there, but I think it was a lot larger at one time.
Yes, because, I don't know, kids and everything, there was one time that I know there was some way down by the creek.
Oh, really?
Where somebody just laying down there, just like an ordinary piece of stone, so, you know. That's.
Let's talk now about the schoolhouse. This is why we're really interviewing you. You went to the schoolhouse in what year, do you remember?
Well, I went to school there. I started school there when I was 8 years old.
1920 then.
So, I went to school there for 7 years. And you started school when you was eight. At that time, you started when you was eight. And you went through eighth grade. Because the teacher teaches right up to eighth grade. But I quit at seventh grade because I was 15 and passed the seventh grade.
Oh.
So that fall when school closed, that was it. I never went back to school again. That was it.
That's when you started working, was it?
That's right. Worked ever since, so.
Now, do you remember the names of your teachers?
Well, like I say, as near as I could tell, the one, I know the first one, Miss Haxton. And as near as I could tell, she lived, you know, up in Stormville by the railroad tracks, you know, where they used to have the shooting.
Yeah.
That gallery, you know, in there. Well, I think she lived right there, hasn't she? And she used to ride a bicycle all the way from there up to. And the funny part was, you didn't get snow days. If the teacher got to school, school was open.
Okay.
And she didn't miss, let me tell you.
So you had to walk to school? Or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Walked all the way from where Phillips Road is, where that house is, all the way down to the school there in the corner.
That's what it.
And I mean, a lot of people thought that property that was on belonged to that house on the corner, which was, who was there?
Griffin.
Griffin. Yes.
Virginia.
But that piece of property, they didn't belong to that. That belonged to the Phillips farm.
Okay.
See? That belonged to the Phillips farm. A lot of people thought it belonged to, and I said, it didn't. And of course, up there at the school, the only place you had water was a hand pump, and that was right directly out from where you go up the porch and go into school. Right straight across, flagpole. Out there, you put the flag up, and you tap it above there and pump water. We used to have they used to give one of the older ones, you know, well, guys, they give him the being janitor. So now it was up to him to be there in the morning and get that fire going because it was real cold. Your desk was all along like this. The old big stove was right in the center. And you went out of real cold, you didn't find anybody at their desk. They were all up there, squad right down right around that thing right there. And, warmed up, then you went back to your desk. So, and then as you went in the door, on your right-hand side was your outside toilet. You had ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, and they were in, and this kind of a board fence went right around them and went right down like that and then right around them like that. That's the way they went. And that's the way they were. And I believe probably some of them, of course, they're all gone now. Them big trees that were there a while back, probably we set a lot of them out because, like, every year we used to have what they call Arbor Day, spring of the year, and there was no school that day. We didn't go to, you know, in school. But some of us would bring a hoe, somebody would bring a rake and this and that. So that's all we did that day, and we got that all cleaned up. Then we'd go out in the woods and dig up a tree, bring the tree in and set the tree up.
Was that in the springtime? Was that in the springtime?
Yeah. They used to call it Arbor Day. They still got Arbor Day, somebody says, into some of the schools. They still say they got Arbor Day. And it's, just where you go and spend. I don't know where they are, but somebody said that. Because I was saying something to somebody a while back. And they said, yes.
Now, do you remember when you were at school if there was a bell tower on the school?
A what?
A tower for the bell. There was a bell in the tower.
Sure, and some. I thought somebody told me here a while ago they knew where it was. Somebody took that bell. And I thought somebody told me that it was up to the town hall.
Yeah, it's not in the town hall, but I did meet Dean Dutcher. I don't know if you know Dean Dutcher, the family, but anyway, he thinks he might know where it is.
Yeah.
But no, it's not at the town hall.
No.
Although the town hall did say that if we put the bell tower back, they'll buy us a bell.
Yeah.
But did the teacher used to ring that to call you to school?
No, we used to ring it. We used to ring it when school was in,
And if you were in the fields, you came running.
That's right, because there was a rope come right down through the ceiling. Come right down like that, and you just went down like that.
Did the rope ever break?
Not while I was there. No, it was a good rope.
Okay.
Well, you didn't pull it that much.
No.
But you just give about one pull like that, and that thing would swing back and forth, pretty easy.
Now, you told me that you were pretty good at some of the lessons, except history.
I could do everything but history. Don't talk to me now about history.
And yet, funnily enough, this is what we are talking to you about, is the history of the schoolhouse and the history of that area.
That's something, as I said, that's something I was never interested in. When you talk about historical, there's got to be people that's what they live for. And they go out among people all over. And they try to dig all this stuff up. I was never that way. I never,
What was your favorite lessons?
I would say, they call it math now. I used to say arithmetic. Spelling, I was pretty good at spelling. English, I didn't have too much trouble with. Geography, I was a little. But I always managed to. But see, what happened was, I was telling Bob before this came in. See, there was 8 classes. 1, 2, 3, right up to 8, and she teaches them all. So the thing of it was, now we're in school now, right? So I'm in the 4th grade. So you come in, and you're in the 5th grade. So she starts teaching you. So I'm paying more attention to you than I am my own right here. See? So when it come time me to go up there, I knew just about everything that going to be answered, right? So I kept doing that and kept doing that, and that's why I worked myself right up to the seventh grade. Otherwise, I'd have had to go to full eight. You know, I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know how many still went to that school after I left. Well, I know some of the Johnsons had her. I know Jesse had her. Because he, as I say, he went in when I was getting out. But I mean, there's a lot of the other ones I don't know. I can't even think of any of their names, really.
What about Mr. Pitcher, Jimmy Pitcher?
Jimmy Pitcher? Well, he must have been going there yet after I left, because he was a color guy. Mm-hmm. And he lived right up where you're telling about. What was her name? What did you say her name was?
Yeah, Mildred.
No. The one up on the corner of the toy by the school?
Virginia Lafayette Griffin.
Yeah. All right. That's where he lived.
In that house?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where his father and mother lived. And they were nice people in one way, but God, you couldn't really talk to them. See, we were up in where we lived, in our house, the only thing we had on there was sheep. The cows was over in the other place, but we had sheep. And the sheep went all over our place, even on our lawns. And, of course, we had a fence all the way around so nothing could get in to get the sheep. But somehow that cussed dog they had, he'd get in there, and he killed as many as 8 or 9 of our sheep.
Really?
And go over there and tell Mr. Pitcher, keep your dog tied up. So finally, I guess I got a hold of the town as near as I can tell. I got a hold of somebody, and they went and gave him warning. So then they come back and told my father, they said, the dog comes back again if he's inside the yard, don't let him go out. That's what happened to the dog. And I mean, they were nice people, but they just wouldn't listen to reason. No.
Did you?
Of course, we had dogs of our own, but they'd never bother our sheep, you know, never. And, but that's where he lived.
Okay.
Right
did,
there.
Did you used to shear the sheep?
Oh, yeah. Used to have a guy come in to shear them. I forget how many Sundays he used to shear. And he sheared by hand like this. Boy, I'm telling you, it wouldn't take him long to shear them either.
You didn't used to milk the sheep, I suppose, did you?
No. Well, we had a bunch of them there one time.
You used to have lamb for dinner sometimes?
If you think they weren't smart. Now, as I say, they could come down in our lawn and all over. So by running down there, when you went from our place to go out on the road to maybe go over to the other farm, you had a gate. And I think Bob O'Dell and I was by there not too awful long ago, and I think that damn gate's still there. It seems to me there's a gate there that goes, and it come like this, like that, right? Right down the center. Well, what happened was when we were there, a limb come off a locust tree and went right down there and bent that right down, because I got a picture of my father and mother right there with it.
Yes.
And I believe that damn gate was still there. So I said to Bob, I said, now, if you wanted to go out, you opened the gate, you went through. Then you went back and you closed the gate. Then you went where you wanted to go and you come back. You stopped, you opened the gate, you come in, you closed it. Now, if you was only going to be out there 5 minutes, and you opened the gate and went out, and you was only gone 5 minutes, the sheep had all been down there, that problem for you. How they knew that gate was open something, I don't know. But they would do it. Yeah.
Now, I know you just mentioned that you were pretty good at spelling.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a great story that I'd like to hear again about the spelling bee that you should have gone to.
I mean, let's face it. You think of these things afterwards. I was really sorry, really, because I felt sorry for the teacher. Because, hell, I mean, that Jimmy and I, I don't know how long it was. We didn't even have school in the afternoon. We sat right on the porch. And he'd have a spelling book and I'd have one. So he'd go for a while, ask me these words, I'd spell them. And he'd ask, I'd ask you. And back and forth. So we got all ready to. Now, we had to go, which I guess the old school is gone now, Hopewell School.
Yes, it has.
It was on that corner.
It burnt down in 1985.
That was where we had to go the first time. Well, if you went there and you won there, you'll never get where you went. Then you kept going. And I don't know how many different schools you went to. So we got all set. Had to go down there on a Saturday. And me, I had to mention it to Jimmy. I thought about going and everything, so Jimmy. So that night, Jimmy said to me, he said, "You're going?" He said, "Yeah." "Okay," he said, "I'll meet you." He said, "I'll come over." He said, and so I said, "Okay." So in the meantime, when I got thinking about it, and I don't know what time we were supposed to be down there, but the more I got thinking about it, the more I said, "God almighty, I'll tell Jimmy." You know, I said, "This is Saturday. This is our day off. We ain't supposed to be going to school. You know, this is our day off. Why can't it be on a school day?" And so when Jimmy come, God, he said, "I think you're right." So we talked it over for a little while. I said, "Jimmy, forget about it. Let's go and dig some fish worms and we'll go fishing." So we went and got some fish worms down to the creek and started fishing. And so Monday morning, when the school teacher asked us how we made out, and we told her, "Oh my God! Oh, you should." She dropped right down just like that. You know? And I thought, I told Jimmy afterwards, I said I felt bad. I felt bad, really. You know, but it's the way it happened.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
But like what sort of punishment did you get for that?
Nothing. No, we didn't. No. School went right on just like it.
Was there any form of punishment at school?
No.
You didn't have to stand in the corner?
No,
or?
No. I mean, I got to say, maybe, I don't know, but I got to say, our school was always quiet. I mean, okay, we might play a little prank on you or something like that, but other than that, nothing. I mean, we never, you know, we'd go out and, like, on our school time, you know, on our noon time, you know, we'd eat our lunch and everything, and we'd go out and play ball. We'd go out in that little field, the big field right beyond where the flagpole was. We used to go out in there and play ball, you know. And so the teacher, she had a little bell. And when it would come time to come in, she'd just go out and ring that bell, and, you know, we'd win.
That little bell, I found a bell in the antique shop in Hopewell, a hand bell, a school bell, and it's got number 9 stamped on it. Whether that was the one from the school or not, I can't be sure.
It probably would have. Because, you know, they mentioned, when I mentioned that school, they say Upper Hopewell School. Never Upper Hopewell School when I went to school there. It was Old Hopewell, and that was on a sign right across the thing, Old Hopewell School, number 9.
Was that above the front entrance?
Yep.
There is a sort of half round.
It was a thing like this. It went across like this and went around like this.
Yeah. And it was in there.
And it says Old Hopewell School, number 9.
Well, when we restore the schoolhouse, we will paint that in there. I've known it as Upper Hopewell, but you say it's Old Hopewell, so that's what we will put back in there.
Yeah. Old Hopewell School. Old Hopewell School, number 9.
Did you have any special friends there at school? I mean, Jimmy, obviously, but anybody else that you were friendly with?
Not really, no.
How about work at home? Did you have to do chores around the farm before you went to school?
Oh, yes.
What sort of things?
Well, like in the wintertime, like with all them sheep. the buildings, we had two buildings. They went into three buildings. There was like a rack built about so high all the way around. And we used to have to go up in the mound and throw the hay down. We used to have good alfalfa hay. And we'd throw it down all down in a heap and then take the fork and go along. And one of us would get in the thing and pack it down. We had to put it in, go all the way around. You know? Used to have to do that, and you used to have to make sure they had water. And a lot of people wouldn't realize it. And we used to tell them that a sheep will drink more water in the wintertime than it will in the summertime.
Really?
Yeah. Now, you know why?
Because the hay is dry?
No. I'm talking about in the summertime when they go out in the pasture. When they go out in the pasture in the summertime, they go out early in the morning. Grass is all covered with dew. See? So now, you put them in there in the wintertime, you got dry hay. So they got to have water to go with it. But in the summertime, they pick that dew up off the grass, and that really...
When you got home in the evening, did you have anything special to do?
Not really. Oh, I mean, you'd have to make sure you had wood, because all we burnt was wood. And you had to have wood for the kitchen stove. You had to have wood for the furnace and all of the other stove, you know. We never really had a furnace. We had like what's called a block stove. You could throw big blocks of wood in there about so big around, maybe about that. Throw 2 or 3 of them in there, you know. And if you put like 4 or 5 of them at night, and they'd hold pretty good until morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So.
Where did you get the water? Was it outside the house?
What's that?
The water for the sheep.
Oh yeah.
Had a hand pump? Or?
No. That come from a windmill. Had a big tank. And when the wind blew, that thing would go around like that, and that pump would go up and down like that. And they'd fill that water tank right up. Well, then there was a pipe come down with a faucet on it. So you had to make sure when you filled up their troughs, you know, for water, you had to make sure that was shut off, and you had to make sure it was drained. Otherwise, it would freeze.
Yeah.
Now, coming from the tank down, it wouldn't freeze because it would be under the ground. But where you have to put your hose onto it, it would be on top of the ground, so you had to make sure that would, yeah,
drain. When you left school, where did you work?
After I left school?
Yes.
Right there on the farm for a while. You know? And then, I believe the very first place I worked, and I only worked like just a few hours in the daytime, and that was, well, you know where the big house is on what they call it, Biking Hall. You know that big house they call it Bed and Breakfast now or something?
Yeah, the Beaujolais owned it, I think,
that's
own
where,
it now,
that's
yes.
That's where I worked. I used to move along there for the people. And I can remember going out there and had a little mower about this wide. And of course, you had that, you could go all over that lawn and mow. And I owed maybe like 4 or 5 hours a day. And I always got paid, you know, a little bit. And when I would get my first pay, boy, I think I was great then, you know. I'd get $5-$10, but it was great. Yep. And then I kind of went around from there. A couple other jobs I worked on for a little while, just helping people out. I never really got onto a good steady job until, after I really got onto a steady one. Now that one there, that one I'm telling you about, I worked there for quite a while. Because the people that I worked for, the boss himself, he was a vice president of U.S. Rubber Company. And he used to go to Sumatra and a lot, you know, in the wintertime. And up there he had two little black cocker spaniels. And no matter where I went, them little guys would be with me, you know. Wherever I went, my friend. So he used to send us cards home from Sumatra. He used to send me some cards. So he sent me a card one time, a picture onto a great big elephant. Now, he told me what them names meant. The larger one, he called Gomuk. And the smaller one, he called Etam. Now, he told me what that stood for, but I forgot what it was, really. So the funny part was, I used to take once in a week and give him a bath, but stuff, you know, you get the fleas off him and everything. I kind of brush them out. And now that bigger one, we had a pond up there. And if I was out there at that pond, you couldn't get that dog out of that pond. I mean, he'd just swim around there just like, you know. But the little one, goodbye, he's gone. Same thing when I got ready to give him the bath. He'd see me go and get that tub. He's gone. So the big guy, he wouldn't even let me get water in it. Then I'd have to go all around and look to see where that little guy went. Had a lot of fun with them. And as I say, I think altogether, from the time I started until I left there, after he'd sold it, I think I worked there probably like 7 years. And I did pretty good there. I used to drive them here and there, people. And they had a pickup truck, and they also had a big red Cadillac. And I used to take them down to Fishkill, down to Beacon, back north. And well, I don't know how he found it out, and I don't know how long I did that, and I never had a license. He found out I didn't have a license. So that one weekend he came up, he handed me $50. He said, "My dear, this week," he said, "you go and get your license." So I went and got my license. Yep. But I drove all that time with no license.
There weren't very many cars around, were there?
Oh, okay. He can get to it. Bob's got his car, right? But he got to the mailbox.
Then where did you go and work?
Then I went around and worked here and there with people just helping them out on different things, and wouldn't be that much. It wouldn't, you know, wouldn't last that long. And then I finally got into Heckman's, and I worked 35 years. I worked 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, from 4 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night.
Dairy farming?
Milking cows.
That's hard work.
Yeah. Then my brother worked there with me for quite a while, and then he finally gave up. He said he's going to retire and forget about it. So I told Heckman, I said, "Man, don't count on me doing this alone. I ain't going to do it." So then he decided to sell them.
What sort of cows were they?
Huh?
What kind of cows?
They were milk cows. They were,
yeah.
Were
Holsteins?
Oh, yeah.
The black and white?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's all we had. So we used to milk them. We used to milk 40 cows there.
Where did your milk go? Do you remember?
First off, it used to go to Beacon. Then it went to Poughkeepsie. And when we finally sold out and everything, it was going to Connecticut. And what got me was you had 3 milk inspectors. You had New York State. You had Connecticut. And you had Massachusetts. And boy, I'm telling you, you had to be right on the ball when them damn inspectors come around. telling you. So,
when it went to Beacon, did it go to Brunetto Cheese?
I don't know where they went after it went. We just took, all I know is a place that they picked it up at Beacon. And then, of course, they say it went to Connecticut. And actually, it was going to Connecticut. All right, you see the milk around here, different places. What the heck is his name?
Dairy Lee?
Huh?
Dairy Lee?
No, that's New York State.
Borden's?
No.
Henshin's?
No.
Fitchett's? Fitchett's in Poughkeepsie?
No. It was Connecticut.
Oh, Marcus?
Marcus. Marcus Dairy. Marcus. That's where it went.
See, I know where all the dairies are.
And I mean, I got along good with that guy, that inspector. But I know Ray Hickman. He was getting an argument every time with him. I said to Ray, I said, I don't know why you do it, but I said, I get along good with him. And now to show you, he'd come in, well, maybe he'd find a couple of things that was, but he said, I ain't going to mark you on them, because you know, I know you're going to fix them. You're going to take care of it. I ain't going to mark you. So sure enough, when if he come back again, he'd find out that I had already, you know. But now Ray couldn't do that. But now, when I started to work up to the camp, after the show and everything, he was still going into Ray's because they were still making milk in there. And he used to go in there, and one day I was out by the firehouse, and I was down there, but I was down there and I was mowing the lawn down to the firehouse. And I seen him going to Ray's Lane. When he came out, damn, he didn't come right down there and pull right in and stop there and talk with me.
Really?
Yeah.
He right remembered you, yes.
Yeah, he remembered me. In fact, I guess Ray of them told him that I was down there mowing. But I got along good with him. I didn't have no trouble.
Did you ever go over and see Gene Satterley at the Brinkerhoff Putney Palin house? Gene, he was a dairy farmer.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I know. Yeah, I knew him. Yep.
About what time did you go and used to see him? Was that in the 1940s? Or?
That was
Gene?
Gene Satterley.
Yeah.
Yeah. He used to stop in once in a while and see him. Sure. I knew him when he farmed over there, like.
What sort of cattle did he have?
I don't know what kind he had, but he... I don't think he had a horse on the place. He had all mules. Because Len, my boss, had bought a mule. We called him Cy. He was something else. We had him driving him alongside of a horse, took two of them. And, but Gene, he needed another mule. He came over and see Len. And God, they got together. And I can remember the day that Gene came over and got him. And he says... He says, Lynn, he said, can I take the collar with me, he said. Because he said, I don't think I got a collar that'll fit him. And he said, take the collar and keep it. So he put the thing on and he walked all the way from there over to the place with that mule. And the last I knew, he still had him.
Did he ever have a tractor over there? Gene, did he ever use a tractor or only use mules?
I know he had a tractor, I think, one time. But the thing with that mule was, you could never make him step in a hole. I mean, and if you was color baiting with him, and there happened to be a little hole in the ground like that, that damn mule went right out around like that, and he'd tear out your corn and everything. But you wouldn't get him near a hole. He wouldn't. How he knew they were there, but you couldn't get him.
A
horse would walk right through there. But you couldn't get that mule over there.
So he wasn't going to break his leg.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. No, Gene liked his mules. Yeah.
And just talking about the the Brinkerhoff house, did they used to collect ice, harvest ice for there or for other places, do you remember? Harvesting the ice.
Must have been the other. My father used to harvest ice up on the Silver Lake when we was up on Elk Road. Because, see, we had a nice house there at that place. And there was one over on the main.
Was there an ice house there?
Yeah, over on in both places. So you used to build them.
Do you know the house that's opposite the town hall in East Fishkill now? It used to be Cannon property.
No.
There's a nice house there which is still in good condition that we hope to save and move that to the Brinkerhoff house.
Yeah.
You actually gave me a photograph of ice harvesting on Sylvan Lake.
Yeah.
And you told me a story about the horses. They used to do something to stop them drowning.
Have a choke rope on their neck. I had a guy who worked with me up to camp there, Bernie Ruffy. I tell him about it one day, and he says, "Say that again." And I told him, "When the hell you have that choke rope?" Well, I said, "If that that horse goes through the ice, they pull that rope and choke him, so he can't breathe, so he bolts. And when it does, he just keeps coming up to the top. Then you just roll him right out on the ice." Then the very first thing my father used to say, "Boy, you get two or three blankets and throw right onto him. Let him be there just for a little while on the ice and then get him up. Just walk him."
Did you see that happen?
And head him. I never seen it happen. But my father used to tell about it. Then you get him right to the barn as soon as you can, get him in where it's warm. Next day you can put him right back to work again, he said. Yep.
Did you enjoy working with the horses?
Oh, I loved horses. I'd rather work with a good team of horses than I would with a cocker. Because I walked a good many miles behind them, just pawing one fur.
Did Lynn Hickman have horses?
Yes. And I used them, too, quite a lot.
Percherons, or?
Huh?
What kind?
Just ordinary horses. There was no...
Nothing fancy.
Kind of all mixed up breeds, I suppose. Uh-oh.
Well, Wilson, I think you've told us a lot about life in those days, 80 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
When you were a student at the school.
Yeah.
Any other stories that come to mind?
Not really.
Working on the farm?
Not really. No. Just ordinarily farming, I mean.
What about the farm?
I liked farming as far as that goes. But, I mean, actually it was too long hours. I mean, you get up 4 o'clock in the morning, by the time we left here, and get up to the barn, so you get in the barn and get milking by 4:30. And you can, believe me, if you didn't get in the barn by 4:30, and say it was 4:45, them cows let you know it when you got anywhere near it, because you'd hear them, they knew. And the minute you went, all you had to do was rattle that machine, it just as quiet as they.
Yes.
And I used to, you know. And then, like I say, by the time you got through milking, got everything right there, then you come to breakfast, leave after breakfast, go up and let the cows out, clean the barn, clean everything up. And it's just a routine thing. By the time you did all that, it was time to start milking again. So then you ended up getting home 6:30.
It was a very hard, long
And don't ask me how I did it. My brother and I.
It didn't do you any harm anyway, because
right.
You're looking pretty good.
6:30 at night we'd get home. And in fact, I was saying to a guy the other day, and he He says he's 80-something, and I guess he's right. I don't know if you know Bud Cole.
Yes, yeah, he's got the bad leg.
I was talking with him yesterday, and I knew Bud, because the first thing to me, he said, you did any coon hunting lately? I said, no. I said, Bud, you know what? You know what, toward the last, I said I'd go out this year and go coon hunting. The next year I went up, I said, and that mountain was just a little bit higher. And the next time I said it was a little bit higher. And I said, and he laughed. Now, we used to go out coon hunting after we'd get through eating and everything. Sometimes we'd get home from coon hunting until 12 o'clock at night. Go all over the mountains. And, but when you stop to think about it, probably in a season, in the fall, certain fall, probably we'd get anywhere from 75 to 100 raccoons that fall. Well, at that time, they would bring a good price. And so, I mean, everything worked out. Now, the coon season would stop because soon the cold weather come. They didn't come out anyhow, they hibernate. And we'd start reading fox hunting. We had foxhounds. I'd walk all over that mountain with the foxhounds. And the last time, I guess, that we did any coon hunting, I guess if you got 75 cents for a pelt, you were doing pretty good. So that was winning print. But I had some good coon dogs and I had good foxhounds.
How many hounds would you take out for foxhunting?
Like with my coon dogs, the only time I'd take two would be if I had a young one that was breaking in. Then I'd take it with my old, and same way the foxhounds.
Yeah.
But some of them, they have two or three foxhounds. They take them all right out. I used to just take, just the two of them.
Yeah.
In fact, I had one coon dog, and I felt sorry for that dog. And he was going to be a good one, too. And I took him out one night, and I guess the season had just opened, and I took him out with my old dog, and the old dog got started on a coon, and the pup finally decided to go with her. And so all at once, I didn't hear him barking. I heard her. She started a tree. So I wonder what happened to the pup. I said to my brother, what happened? So we walked up there. He ain't around there. The pup ain't there. She's right there, and she had the coon up tree, too. So we waited a while to see if that pup never come. And so I said to my brother, you don't suppose somebody was here in the woods and stole that damn dog? No. I said, where did he go? So I think it was probably like a week afterwards, up in where we was hunting, near where we was hunting, we used to know some people lived up there, and this lady, and she had a son. And her son apparently was out in the back one day walking around, and she said he come across this dead dog.
Oh.
So I guess she had called Ray Hickman, and Ray Hickman said, he came up to the house and he asked me, and I said, where did you leave Lou's tick the other night? I said, back to Miss Wilkins. I said, I'll bet you, he said, damn dog's dead up there. So we went up, and the boy took us out where he was, and sure enough, there he lay. His collar onto him, the tags onto him, and must have had a heart attack.
Oh, really?
That's what the vet, I asked the veterinarian.
Yeah.
He had a heart attack. Of course, it was early in the season, just starting out, and to the excitement might have been a little bit too
much for him.
Yeah. He would have made a good dog, too.
Mm. When did you join the fire department?
The fire department? When I built a firehouse. I built a firehouse. We never contracted out to build it. We did it all ourselves.
So you're a charter member.
You know where the firehouse sits now?
Yes.
Well, you know where the main road goes down?
Yes.
Well, would you believe where that main road's down now? That when we started to build that firehouse, it was as deep as this, right off that road. That's all filled.
Oh. Oh, is it?
All the way from that road, right back to where the... All the way back.
To Ray Hickman's old place?
Well, no, I mean... No, just down...
Down from the road.
Down to where the...
Firehouse is.
Yeah. That's all built. And a Sunday, Christ, all you could see was trucks running down the road. Christ, we had... Well, we had two dump trucks from the farm. Ray had a dump truck, I guess. And we had... I don't know whether we had one or two package payments big.
Did you?
And we had a big payloader from Fort Brothers down in...
In the Fishkill?
Loading the trucks. Yep.
Well, you've seen a lot of changes in the area in your lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
But you've got a nice little quiet backwater here.
Christ, you talk about what they sell these houses for nowadays.
Yes.
I don't know how the Sand Hill, anybody can pay for the crust of things. They got to be making a lot of money. And I said, you know, when I bought this, 2 acres, and the old house was there at that time.
Yes.
Because I lived in the old house for a little while. And I paid $3,500.
Yeah, it would be $350,000 now, probably.
Oh, more than that.
Well, it's very nice. You keep it very nice as well.
Oh, yeah.
Did you rake all the leaves? Or
no,
did
the wind blew them off the other day.
Blew in the right direction for a change.
I mowed just about an acre and a half. And, of course, I didn't do too much mowing this summer. Because, actually, right now I'm wearing glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But up until just last week, I had to wear a patch. I could only use one eye.
Oh.
See, I had double vision.
Yes.
You know, I went to the one doctor up in Hopewell there. I went to him twice. I went to Dr. Fox.
Yes.
And he's the one that took the cataracts off my eyes. And he, when I went up to see him, he said, I want to see you next week. He said, in my office down in Fishkill. I goes down there. And he... looked them all over and everything. He said, I'm going to refer you to a fellow that works right in here. He said, in the office right here. So he said, next week, I'll make an appointment for you to come in and see, forget what his name was now. And he said, he's supposed to be an expert. And he said, come in and see what he says. Now, you know what he said? That fellow said, he went all through everything, back and forth, back and forth. And finally he said, you know what? It came on just like that. It can go just like that. And then he said, there's a possibility they could make glasses for you. But he didn't tell me to have glasses made or anything. He just said that was it, and that's the last I heard of him. So I went back to this guy up here. And so the last time I went, you know, and I went up and he examined and he said, I want to make another appointment for you, because he said, to tell you what, if I'm right, I said, maybe I can, you know, do something. But I got to have you to come back next week. And he said, I got to dilate your eyes good so I can look way back. So I can. And he said, I'll, so he did, you know. And he come back and he said, money. He said, I think, he said, I can make your glasses, get to have glasses made for you. At least, he said, you won't have to be wearing a patch. So, you know what? He helped me.
Great.
Right now, I ain't using the glasses, and I ain't using a patch, but everything is all right now.
Oh.
I ain't got double.
Wow.
But if I look for a while now, if I go to look back like this, then I got to have the glasses on.
Yeah.
But up close, I'm all right.
Oh, so you can read, you know, the newspaper.
Well,
now.
Actually, I got to read. He told me that these won't help my reading. I've had reading glasses for I don't know how long now. But he said, I asked him about making my reading glasses a little stronger, and he said, you can't really. He said, your reading glasses is okay.
So do you read with just one eye?
No.
Yeah, the two eyes, you can? Okay, good.
Take these off and put the other ones on.
Well, I think that's just about winds it up. Wilson, thank you very much for allowing us to interview you.
Yeah.